Very Gimel Mishnah test. So now that we're dealing with basically some psukim here, we're trying to square away. The case is going to be that, okay, the Torah says if one cow attacks another cow, so then what do? It says umachru es ashor hacha, you sell the mazik, the bad cow, v'chatzu es kachbo, and you divide the value at 50-50. Okay? But the pasuk also says straight after that, "Vagam es ames yechatzun." You also take the corpse, the carcass, and divide that 50-50. Okay, so the question we're just going to start discussing here. The Mishnah doesn't say too much, but there's a lot lurking behind the scenes of how it works. So there's no new principles in the like. If I'd introduce it, there's nothing new that we haven't said before. You don't know no information you didn't know before. But there's two machlokim hidden beneath the surface. The first one is, when we say that the umachras ashore, you sell the cow, do we mean literally that when your cow hurts my cow, so you're the mazik, so do I now become a partner in your cow? Do I own it? Remember we said the whole time too, and Tom is paying, this is only talking about Tom here, we're talking about Tom, because Tom pays megufo, pays from its body. So how literally are we taking that? The pasuk seems to imply you actually take the cow literally and sell it, and then liquidate the damages, splitting it 50-50. Liquidate the proceeds and then split those 50-50. So that seems to imply that you've me as the nizik receives ownership in your cow, literally. Like I get shares in your cow, so to speak. That's what it seems to say. So that's a machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. And Rabbi Shmuel says, it didn't mean that. It means conceptually. It knows it's cap magufo, but the nizik, the damaged party, doesn't automatically get ownership in the cow. He has a liability; it's owed to him. But it's a dollar amount; it's financial offset, not actual delivery of a cow that you need to get. So, in other words, to speak it out very simply, if your cow does $1,000 of damage to my stained glass window, and your cow's only worth $500, so now. So you won't pay $1,000, you pay $500. That's the whole value of the cow. So,
of course, when you call $1,000,
right? But it's chatzinezer. So it's capped at when a tom damages. So it's always considered. And we're saying it's Karen damage to the stained glass window. So then you pay chatzinezer and you pay megufo, meaning that it's capped at the value of the cow. The cow is worth $500. Oh, let me take a better example. Your cow did $2,000 of damage to my stained glass window, and your cow's worth $500. So you owe me $1,000, but you're limited to paying $500 because that's all the cow's worth. That's a din. That's what we said. That's a din and tom. It's chatzi nezik, half damages, but megufo from the body of the animal itself. So you, it's like LLC. You got limited liability to each. Get the principle before you. The principle is that the amount that the mazik, the damaging party, has to pay is capped by the value of the thing that did the damage. If in the tom world, not mu'ud world, in the tom world. So the question is, do I have now, you broke my stained glass window, do I have a right to say, listen, you owe me $1,000, okay, good, it's capped at $500, but that's the full value of the cow and I want your cow, and the cow becomes mine, the Torah gave it to me. Or is, no, that's the point at all, the point is that I owe you, or you owe me, I should say, the $500, but you can pay me in dollars, you don't have to pay me in the cow. I don't have actually literally ownership of the cow. So that's a machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. Okay? Rabbi Shmuel says it's just like a financial offset. Rabbi Kiva says, no, you actually, the nizik, the damaged party, actually gets ownership in the cow. Partial ownership, or full ownership. So the case the Mishnah will be talking about, where, and this is only going to work, this is an important point. The Mishnah only makes mathematical sense if we're not talking the case I told you before about stained glass windows. It's your cow attacks my cow, and the cows are worth the same. Okay? It's a special case. If the cows aren't worth the same, none of this Mishnah is going to work out. Okay? But in the case of the Mishnah is, you have a $200 cow, I have a $200 cow, Zuz cow for that matter. And your 200 Zuz cow attacks my 200 Zuz cow, and it destroys it or damages it. So at that point, you owe me money. You owe me money. So, according to Rabbi Shmuel, so you pay me the cash, if you want. And according to Rabbi, remember you can pay with, whenever you can pay with cash or cash equivalents, so you can pay with the cow itself always anyways. But according to Rabbi Akiva, your cow becomes mine, or half mine. So now I'm 50% ownership owners with you, and you have to do whatever has to get done with the cow.
You know,
seriously, if I start talking smack to my...
No, sorry, too many moving parts. Wait, just okay. Focus on the Mishnah, really. So that's machlokas number one lurking, okay, behind the scenes. So this Mishnah ostensibly is really, it's going like Rabbi Akiva. Not ostensibly, it's going like Rabbi Akiva. That we're talking about the damaged party actually gets ownership in the cow. Okay? And therefore, it starts out by saying like this. Shor shava mana, shnagach shor shava masayim. Okay, case number one is where the cow is, the damaging cow is only worth 100. And the damagee cow is worth 200. Ve'ein anavela yafaklum. And there's nothing left in the damaged cow. In other words, the 200, the damaged cow is dead and is like and disintegrated, gone. No glue factories, no nothing. So now, you have a 200 zuz cow, it did 100 zuz damage to me, so you owe me chatzin ezek, you owe me 100 zuz. So no tel es ashor, then I take your cow. I take your cow in full, because you owe me 100, capped at 100, things worth 100, I take it and zeus that. Like Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Shmuel, it's still the Nizik's prerogative, if he wants to give the actual cow or not, but we're going like Rabbi Akiva, takes the cow. Now, shor shava masayim, shagach shor shava masayim. Now comes a setup which has to be only equal, cows of equal value. Two cows attack each other, and each one's worth 200 zuz. I should have said mana, the word mana means 100 zuz, what it's worth before. Okay? So again, here now, shor shava masayim, shagach shor shava masayim, two 200 zuz cows attack one the other. Ve'ena nevela yafa Kolom. The Mazik walked out, no damage done to him. The Nizik is worth nothing. It's totally demolished to nothing. So now what's going to be? So now remember that the Mazik's cows were 200. He only owes 100. So what's going to be? Amrib Meir. Rib Meir says, listen, Al Zeh Neemar, that's what the Pasuk meant when it said, Umachar Es Ashor, so you should sell the cow, V'Hachai, that's still alive, meaning the Mazik, V'Chatsu Es Kaspo, and you just divide the proceeds, 50-50. Straightforward, right? Or 100-100 in this case. So we'd sell your 200, we have to now sell it because we're owners in it. We sell it and we get $200 proceeds. You get half and I get half. And that works out because the half I got is 100, which is exactly what I needed for Chatzin Ezek. You follow? Are we together? So, now, that's all cool. The thing is, Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, listen to the mayor, V'chein halacha, what you said is true. If it happens to be this perfect case of a $100 cow, sorry, 200 zuz cow, attacks 200 zuz cow, then, and there's nothing left, the second cow is worth nothing at the end of it, it's true. Kayamta, then you would have fulfilled the pasuk of umachres ashor achai, you sell the living cow, v'chatzu es kaspo, and you divide the proceeds 50-50. However, you neglected to notice, says Rabbi Yehuda, that the pasuk also says, and you didn't fulfill, v'gam es ames yechatzun, you have to also take the carcass and sell that and split it 50-50. Yechatzun, divided in half. So, in your illustration that the nizik's worth nothing, there's no selling and dividing in half. So that's a bad illustration. Bad illustration. As far as the Mishnah is concerned, as far as it seems over here, there's no machlokas going on. There's just he says that's a bad illustration. V'eze, what's a good illustration? Zed, the case that you should say is shor shava masayim shenagach shor shava masayim. Your cow worth 200 attacks my cow worth 200. V'naveli yafa chamishim zuz. When your cow gets done with my cow is just a dead meat. But dead meat is still worth something. You can sell it to the non-Jewish butchery. You can sell it to the glue factory. Whatever it is, you can sell it to Mercedes to make car seats. So whatever it is, there's some value there. So what do you do then? You shezenotel achai. Sorry, zenotel chetzi achai, the chetzi ames. The one party takes half the value of the living and half the value of the dead. Vezenotel chetzi achai, the chetzi ames. And the other party takes half the living and half the dead. This was the right holding right now. I'm gonna just illustrate the word now. That's complicated. It seems that there's no machlokas at all going on over here. But I'll just throw it out. Rav Meir said the case. Oh, I should have left my cute little cows. Okay, we've got two cows over here, as you can see. They're both horn. That's okay. Okay. Pronghorn cow. They're both toms. Yeah. Now, there's only one mazik here. This is the mazik. They're both tom.
Okay, that doesn't matter. He does 200 damage. And this thing is dead, and now it's worth zero. Afterwards, it's worth zero afterwards. That's my convention here. Okay, so now the owner of A has to pay the Chatzi Nezek. It did 200 damage, has to pay 100 damage. This thing, my convention's not great here. Okay, this is the.
So you're saying there's no value on the carcass?
This is my nuke. This thing is worth 200. This thing is worth zero. Okay, that's what I'm showing it, okay? So after the accident, this guy's.
There's no value on the carcass, you're saying?
No value on the carcass. In the first case, in Ramirez's case. So since he did 200 damage and he's worth 200, he is now worth zero, whatever he's worth before. So what do you do is you and we're going like Rabbi Akiva, that this now became half, you know, B has his half of 200 ownership in here. It's worth 200, so he has 100 ownership or 50%. So what do? Says Rameir, you take this, they take this 200 zuz cow to market, sell it, they get the 200 zuz that it's worth, and then they split it, machra as a chai, you sell the living cow, v'chatos kaspo, and you divide the value, so you get 200 over here, 200 goes to Mr. B, that's, I mean, 100 goes to Mr. B, excuse me, and 100 goes to Mr. A. That's the idea, which is what we would have said anyways, right? He gets 100, which is what he wanted, because that's Chatzi Nezek. Oh, works out cool. Rabbi Yehuda says, you're right, it does work out cool in the Pesukim role, that's good, but there's a second part of the Pasuk that says you also have to split the value of the dead carcass. Well, this story isn't illustrated, so what he wants you to do is this. Take a different example. The example we're taking is, when A is done with B, B is dead, but it's still worth 50. Still worth 50. Because it's a carcass. A carcass you can sell to the glue factory. So, what he says then, look, you take this cow, you sell it in the market, you get 200. You take this cow, you sell it in the market, you get 50. Then you divide it, each one 50-50. There's 100 for A and 100 for B. 25 for A and 25 for B. These are all dollars, right? Okay? And then A gets his total. A is going to get total of... A gets 125, and B gets 125. Okay? Which is... Now look, what's happened is, what did A used to have? A used to have 200. Right? It used to be 200 before it was killed. So, what's the total loss he got here? He had... Forget all the diagrams on the side. I would have done it before we saw this Mishnah. The total damage then done from A to B was, it used to be worth 200, now it's only worth 50, so the damage done is 150. Together, what I did by that? This thing was worth 200, and it was alive. It was alive, worth 200. After A attacks it, it's now worth down to 50, which means that A did 150 of damage to B. Straightforward. So 150 goes in the box. So we'd say, look, 150 is the damage divided by 2 because it's a tom. $75 is how much A is supposed to pay to B. Right? The way this Mishnah is illustrating it, so it can work, that's the number. We want $75. We want A to pay B $75. Now, if you look at ignoring all that stuff here for a second, go back to this drawing over here. At the end of the day, they sell this for 200. A and B each get 100. They sell this for 50. A and B each get 25. A is left with 125. B is left with 125. So how much has A ended up going to paying to B? 75. Right? He paid 75. Each one now loses 75. So the math works out just the same. So all Rabbi Yehuda is saying ostensibly is to illustrate the pasuk, don't use the shore with 200 that destroys it down to zero, because then you won't have the second part of the pasuk of also taking the carcass and selling it and dividing the proceeds 50-50. Okay? Fine. Now,
how much in this case here, how much does each have to pay each other?
In this case, A did the damage, owner of A cow did the damage, so he's going to pay half, 150 equals 75. Right? So at the end of the day, in other words, I'll just do the balance sheet, so to speak, before the payments, you know, lying on the ground, he had something worth 200. After the damage, it's worth 50. So you say, oh, The total damage is 150. Chatzi Nezek would be 75. 75. And that's what's happening here. At the end of the day is, he is transferring $75, yeah, half of 150 damage, $75 from A to B. So now A is, instead of losing 150, he loses 75. He had 200, he lost 75, so he's left with 125. It works out the same, it's just kind of like a numbers game. He ended up, he had, before the accident, he had a $200 asset. After the accident, he has $125 in the bank, so he lost $75.
How did he get $125? He got $75.
He got $100 from the sale of A, cow, and he got $25 from the sale of the carcass. He has $125. What he had before was $200 in the living beef.
So where's the $75 coming? You just said before, that's the difference sheet, the $75.
No, this reminds me of, you know, like the three guys go to the restaurant and there's, where's the missing dollar? Okay, so I'm not sure precisely where I lost you. Let me speak it out one more time, but without any of this, all the drawings, the idea is, if they were worth, this is the story, they were worth 200. You with me? They were worth 200 each. A knocked B down to 50. The damage is 150. So then, Chatzi Nezek is 75. So B used to have 200 in value. It knocked down to 50. So the total damage is 150. He's getting paid 75. So that would mean that if he's it's Chatzi Nezek. He's getting paid 75. He's losing 75 because Chatzi Nezek. So
B,
what?
You say B keeps the carcass.
No, B doesn't keep the carcass. That's what the Mishnah is going to add a little bit. What we're actually doing is we're selling the carcass here and selling the carcass here, and then the proceeds of both sales are being 50-50. It's divided, whatever, half-half. So it's working like, now, you don't really need to memorize this Mishnah or think, oh, in future you have to do it the same way. This math only works out because this one is worth 200 and this one is worth 200 to start. If it wouldn't be, it wouldn't work out great like that. So Rav Yehuda is just giving an illustration of how it could work out to show the pasuk. A little bit strange. Now, there is something else in the Mishnah moving around that isn't clear, which I'm going to speak out now. Is this clear? Ish? Should I do it one more time?
You put down 150.
No, no, there's too many things moving around over here.
You lost this day. You said it was, maybe I'm the only one that's been lost
here. Should I do it one more time? Should I show it one more time? Okay, I'll do it. Okay, here we go, one more time. Okay, take it from the top. Like, we didn't say anything. Say, step one. I'm going to attempt to do it a different way. I'm doing the story. We're pre-Mishnah here. Pre-Mishnah, we've seen nothing. Before we learned this Mishnah, we knew this. Here's a cow worth 200 zuz. And here's a cow worth 200 zuz. A attacks B and knocks it down so that B is worth no longer 200 zuz, it's worth 50 zuz. Let's say it goes dead. So, what number goes in the box here? How many points did it score?
150.
Yeah, you with me? So that's 150. Okay, so if that's true, so we said, since it's a tom, how much would he pay? 150 is the damage, divided by 2, 75. So when the dust, when the accounts settle, how much, what's going to happen is, he had 200, right? He's paying 75, he'll be left with 125 net. However, if it's a liability, whatever, but the net, his balance sheet went down from 200 before to 125. Right? He had an asset of 200, he has a liability of 25, 75 is left with 125. Same over here, same exact story. Right? He ended up, he had 200 for starters. He lost 150 in value. Then he got that payment of, I hope this is making it worse. He got a payment back of 75, which is the half the damages. Right? Half of that. So he's left with, at the end of the day, 125. Because he lost. He got 75, he lost 75.
Again, according to this example, B keeps the carcass.
Yes, yeah, in this, correct. In this, yeah, correct. In this,
you were losing me before. In this,
correct. In this example,
you're saying before, no, it doesn't keep the carcass. Right. That's what, in this example, that's why he only lost 75 because he keeps the carcass. Plus, he gets 75 for the other one, and that's 125. He lost total loss 75.
Okay, so before, I haven't mentioned about selling carcass. I'm just doing financial math here. But, so according to Rabbi Shmuel, rehearsing it for Mishnah again. Now I'm like starting from now. That was pre-Mishnah. Now I'm hitting the Mishnah. There's a machlokas now between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. You look at it like this, it's just a matter of numbers on the board, you know, and you do cash settlement, and this is how it works out. This would be how Rabbi Shmuel, whatever, here he is, doesn't matter. That's how Rabbi Shmuel learns this. It's just a matter of math games. Rabbi Akiva learns, no, it's actually, when this story happens over here, what's actually going on is B gets his, his debt is collateralized by the cow. That's an understatement. Actually, like half the one, in this case, the 75 that's owed is actually like he has 75% ownership in this cow. That's what we're saying. So if you learn like that, Rabbi Akiva says he actually owns like the cow in part or in full, whatever it is. The first part of the mission actually the words were, if this is worth 200, this is worth 100, and it goes down to zero, B just takes the whole cow. So by saying that, the mission is saying we're not looking at just financial gymnastics. We're saying A actually, the cow becomes B's property, B's owner's property. So if that's true, so then how do we learn the shot in the psukim? So now they start saying an example where the psukim worked. Now the problem is, everything we said is true, but the problem talks about also dividing the value of the carcass. So we didn't discuss it yet, so where's that coming in? So Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, Ramirez gave the first part of the pasuk. He says, this is worth 200, this is worth 200, this gets knocked down to zero. So what do? You sell this cow, you get the 200, and you divide it 50-50. 100 he gets to keep, and 100 has to get paid here as a payment. Still good, no great discrepancies. The problem is Rabbi Huda says, Rabbi Meir, that's all fine and dandy. The problem is the pasuk said you have to you also divide the dead cow. When does that come in? So he says, Rabbi Huda says, I'll give you an example. Where the math works, now this is where it's a little subtle, where the math works out that it's the 125 bottom line comes by selling the living cow and selling the dead cow and then dividing the proceeds of both sales 50-50. I'll point out to you, number one, this only works, the math will only work out if the cow start out being worth the same. If not, the math will not work out. Put a different way, really, we're never going to be... The halacha, the pasuk like Rabbi Yehuda, you haven't seen the machlokes yet, but the pasuk like Rabbi Yehuda, and the pasuk like Rabbi Akiva, that he owes the cow itself. No, we do possibly like this. We just don't actually literally sell the cow. You could sell the cow, but you don't have to. The math works out as if you sold the cow, the dead cow, but you don't have to.
So if
the car and the sale, both I'll come back. Ask me afterwards. Okay. So Rabbi Yehuda says you have to give an example that has selling of the cow also to make the pasuk make sense. But now this is an important caveat. That pasuk doesn't need to come into play of selling the dead cow unless the cow is worth equal. If they're not worth equal, that method will never work. So it's limited application, but at least they're fighting over how to make the pasuk, in what case the pasuk is talking about. I thought about this used to bother me a lot. For years, I'm like, why would the pasuk talk about a weird, unique case? Usually you talk, that's strange. I realized after a while, probably because most cows are worth what most cows are worth. So it's probably going right for cows. We're assuming like there's a big differential, but in real life, probably my cow attacks your account because probably because cows go for whatever cows go for. And therefore, it's normal they should be worth the same.
So how do you work out if there is a difference?
If there is a difference, all you're going to do, I mean, the bottom line is it's going to go back to this old, the method we've had up to now. Before, pre-Mishnah, which is you just look at me. Forget the carcass. Now, yeah, and the carcass doesn't come into play normally. Now, here's what the carcass does come into play. I'm saying something new now. And this is something that there's not clear in the Mishnah, but there's a machlokas. Looks like Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda are not having a machlokas. The way I presented it to you, which is how the Mishnah reads, is Rabbi Huda is just saying, you took a bad example of Meir, because in your example there is no carcass, and therefore you haven't got selling of the carcass to fill the pasuk. But there actually is a machlokas, and here is a machlokas beneath the scenes here. It's like this. What happens if... Now, let's think back to simple Rabbi Shmuel cash offset. No difference in practice, really, except there's a cow on the line, but the actual dollar amount is the same. What happens if this was worth 200, this was worth 200? This thing does 150 of damage, so meaning that this cow's now worth 50 after the accident, okay? But then what happens is the cow rots, you know, the buzzards come in, the jackals come and devour it before we can get it to the glue factory. And by the time the jackal's done with it, it's worth zero, okay? So how much does A pay B? We saw before, A still only pays B chatzi nezek. And that was called the pchas nevela, the depreciation of the nevela. Nevela is the carcass. The loss value of the carcass is the problem of the nizik. It's the nizik's problem, the damaged party's problem. That was the example. Remember, we said they're partners in the tashlumen. So, in other words, if by the time that we actually liquidate B, we get nothing for it because it's just a dead carcass that's been eaten by the jackals, so then 150 damage was caused by A, 50 damage was caused by jackals, and A only pays half of the 150. That was said before. Fine. And even Rabban Rabbi would agree with that. What happens if, and this is where they do argue, instead of a pchas nevela, what happens if, you know, it's, you know, remember like you know, play Monopoly, like the pink card, and like something happens in your favor? Miraculously, there's a glue shortage in around the country. And even though the carcass was worth 50 at the time of death, but by the time they managed to get to the glue factory, there's an extra $10 worth of value there, because glue prices have surged. So now who is the beneficiary of that $10 increase? So that is a machlokus in Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. It's subtle in the Mishnah, but it's brought out in the Gemara, based on the word vegam. He brings Rav Yehuda's word vegam. According to Rav Meir, it's straightforward. The nevela, he didn't mention the carcass because not relevant. If the carcass goes up in value or down in value, it doesn't matter. It belongs totally to B. Therefore, we don't want to bring it into the picture. Rav Yehuda says no, surprisingly enough, that the increased value, the appreciation of the carcass, actually is to A's benefit. To A's benefit, to offset the loss. So here, it wasn't 150 damage, only 140 damage. How do you like that? Well, 140 damage. So then the payment is going to be 70 instead of 75.
So this basically is up until the point that he has to pay.
Yeah. When the exact.
In other words, as long as you're paying, man, it's still open.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not going to do when it happened. It has to do with pay time.
Right. Exactly. Well, it does. So it does matter because when A's cow damages B's cow, whatever. So then.
It's assessed.
That minute. That's how much the debt is on this. That minute is how much he pays. The jackals coming later is not his problem, not A's problem. But if it happens to be that the carcass goes up in value, then we'll reassess the damage. We'll say, listen, the truth is, A only caused 140 damage, not 150 damage, because look, it's a $60 carcass, not a $50 carcass. Ramirez says, no way. That's just the good luck of the nizik. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no.
Basically, it's going both ways. It's a two-way street. In other words, in the first case, you're saying we're evaluating now the fact that the value goes down. Too bad. It's not the damager's problem.
And right. That's Rav Meir's shita.
Right. But it's an inconsistent policy.
Right. The policy. The policy is, and you seem to this seems to be a policy the whole way through Bava Kama. There's oftentimes a benefit. The upper hand is the mazik. What I'm drawing here makes no sense. But anyways, mazik is the upper hand. Not always. Well, you see, that happens many times. You've seen it seems to be iniquitous. But here is another.
There's a double standard.
Mazik also gets to choose the court.
Okay, we've seen lots of things. The standard of liability is very high and everything else. But here's another case. At the end of the day, yes, you're right. It's what's the word?
Double standard.
Asymmetrical. It's asymmetrical that if there's a decrease from 50, B loses it all. If there's an increase from the 50, A benefits at least 50%. Yeah.
Is B then obligated to bring the difference back to A, or does A have to then chase out B? You know what, I found out the value has gone up, you
won't be. I guess, well, I mean, like anything, B will essentially owe A $5. If he doesn't hand it over, A, you have to sue him, and a motzi mecharei lev harai, I'll have to bring proof, so like, he'll go to his credit card receipts, subpoena them, and find out that he really got 60 instead of 50, and then he'll get his whatever. That'll have to work, if B won't volunteer the money. The bird, yeah, and so just to speak it out here, in the first episode, step one, B is the motzi, he's taking the money out of A's hand, so he'll have to prove A's cow with the damage. If he can't prove it, let's say, for example, we'll see later on, what happens if, you know, we saw them run off together, and then when we come on the scene later on, we see that there's B's lying dead. So owner B claims, well, it must have been your cow. Owner A will say, who says it was my cow? Maybe some other third cow showed up that you didn't see. A motzi mechaver lamar, the burden will be on him. So the B is the motzi, he has the burden of proof to claim from A. But yeah, indeed, the last 10 in the scenario you're imagining, that first he paid and then he liquidated and then he got 60, A would be the motzi, you have to bring a proof that he paid for $50 left of damage, and really there's only $6 left of damage, so he should be reimbursed half the difference. So fine. Yeah. Okay.